At the end of Perek Lamed Ches, the Baal Tanya introduced us to the concept that there were the fours. The fours were the Dal Dalamas. Then he said that there's four levels of the Bria, Domim Tzemeach Chayim Adaber. Inanimate, the things that grow, living beings, and the speaking being, the Baal HaBechira, he who chooses. And he said that within there is Maisa, mitzvahs, Dibra of mitzvahs, that if it's done without any kavana, it's daimim and tzameach. Okay? But within the realm of mitzvahs that we do do with the correct intent, by the way, we defined last week mitzvahs bikavana, what it means, meaning there's some mitzvahs that have particular intent, right? The tefillin, Pesach. But the general kavanas ha-mitzvah is, as the Rambam writes, Dveikus B'Hashem. Okay? Within that, within Dveikus B'Hashem, there's two levels. There's people who have the power to generate actual emotion through their contemplation, thinking about God, thinking about the privilege of being Jewish and all this neat stuff. That is on the level of a Baal Bechira. That's a person who is like a Medaber, that their Avod is on the level of Medaber. And then there's a being who, as we discussed earlier in Tanya, is not a Baal Bechira. He can't get his emotions going. Emotions are not available. Nonetheless, he said, he taught us that that person's Avoda is valuable because there is a inherent Ahav and Yira that are part and parcel of every Jew. Ahav and Misuteris, a concealed love. And we serve on that level of love. That's on the level of a chai, of an animal. Okay, now it doesn't mean a beast that's walking on four with horns. We're thinking about it in spiritual terms. Okay, that's what we ended with. So now we're going to launch Perek Lamed Tes, coming right off of that. Umipnei ze, page 102. Perek Lamed Tes. Umipnei ze gam ken nikraim hamalochim b'shem chayis u'behemis. Because their avoda is natural to them, angels' service is not on the level of a medaber. We find throughout davening that we constantly refer to the animals to the angels with the names of animals. Kedichsiv pnei Ariel Yamin. The face of the lion was to the right. Pnei Sharma Smol, the face of the ox was to the left. Why do we refer to angels as animals? Levi Sheinim Bale Bechira. Because angels do not have free choice. V'yirosam v'yavosam hutivis lahem. Their awe and their love is natural. Whoever saw an angel struggle. K'mesh k'sibere mehem neparshas Pinchas. The Zohar writes this explicitly. Why do we care? We need to understand that humans that become tzaddikim are far greater than angels, because tzaddikim had to choose to get where they are. Now he puts it into more Kabbalistic terms, and again, we got to go through this process to get to where he ultimately is going to get us. Because the dwelling place of the neshamas of tzaddikim. Okay, we're not talking about where they physically live. We're talking about where their neshamas are from, where the neshamas dwell. Wait. The mother neshamas of tzaddikim is Ba'ilam Abriya. Remember, there's four worlds. There's Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. Okay? Asiya is this world. The neshamas of tzaddikim come from Ba'ilam Abriya. But Madar Malachim is in a lower place. They are Ba'ilam HaYetzira. What's going on here? What's up with this? So he writes, by the way, in just in case you're troubled by the concept that there are angels that also come from Bria, there are special angels that come from Bria, in case you were worried about that. In the Haggah, he mentions that. But to the right side here, V'ayavdol Shebeneyem, what's the difference between a neshama that dwells in Yetzira and a neshama that dwells in Bria? There is a world where it is a world it's referred to as the six midas, the six emotional midas. And there, it's a world not of intellect, not a world that's subject to intellect. And he compares this later on to the nature of animals. Animals control love. They can't choose. They don't have free choice. So it's a world of malachim. That's why we find these fiery malachim that are Yira, and malachim that are Ahava, Gavriel and Michael, and so on. The six spheres, those are Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Chayid, and Yisoid. Those are emotional qualities. They dwell in Yetzirah. Ulachain, for this reason, because the neshamas of malachim come from the world of Yetzirah, therefore, Avaydus HaMalachim, Tamid, Yom HaValai, Lalei Yishkotu, the service of angels never ceases. Lamed B'yidu B'fachad, they're constantly in fear and in awe. V'ayinu Kol Machne Gavriel, this refers to the camp of angels that associated under the flag of Gavriel. Shemei Asmoel, they're from the left side, which is Gevura. V'Avaydus Machne Michoel, conversely, the angel Michael, who may have it, that's the right, that's the angels of love. But they're all in the emotional realm. But what are the qualities that speak of this world of Bria? That's the world of Chabad. That's the world of Chachma Bina V'Das. It's the world of the intellect. Shehein mikoyramidus. They are the why of the emotions. Ve'aim v'shoyrishlam. They are the mother, the root, the source. The highest mother, again, Kabbalistic language, she dwells in the three spheres. Bikersaya shu elam habriya, which is that world of elam habriya. Now, that's why it is the dwelling place of tzaddikim, because tzaddikim don't get to where they have gotten using their emotions. It is Avdei Hashem. They are those who serve the Rebbeinu Shlom B'dechila V'chimu with fear and with love, and Imshachas Min Abina V'das, that come from understanding. They stem from intellect. Dugudulis Ein Tzayv Baruch Hu, they ponder God's existence. She'ahav Ezu Nikri Ru'usa D'liba Kanal. This love is called the world, the love that is awakened from the heart. Now, why do we care? So he says as follows. You need to follow this, because when a person serves out of effort, out of a conscious decision to ponder the Rebbeinu Shlom and to generate emotions in their service, they create a levush for their avodah. Okay? What does that mean? That means like this. Let's use the example of after death, although this applies to during a person's lifetime as well. But the neshama, after death, exits the body, and it goes to receive its schar. So just like in the physical world, there's a guf and there's a neshama. There's mazon to the neshama. There's a spiritual existence and there's a physical existence. So too, so to speak, there exists in the Madah HaNeshamas, there's going to be a place where the Neshama exists. There's the schar for the mitzvahs. But there's also, what he's going to discuss now, is an internal world of reward based upon how we did our mitzvahs. And he says as follows. In that world of the Neshamas of the Tzaddikim, there's a levush that's created for the neshama in that world of Bria, Shu Gan Eden Elyon. The Olam of Bria is called the higher of the two Gan Edens, Kidli Kamad, like we're going to discuss later. This refers only to the neshama component. Remember, there's these five levels of soul. So this is the neshama component. Shem Pchinis Moichin Degadlos and Tzayv Baruch Hu. The neshama is that part of us that has the ability to contemplate godliness. Only the neshama has the ability to contemplate godliness. But when we're talking about the lower level of soul, even of tzaddikim, and so too the rest of us of Klal Yisrael, sha'avdu es Hashem, who serve Hashem, even if it is b'dechilo v'rechimo with the concealed hamisuteres b'leiv Klal Yisrael, we serve because we're Jews. And because Jews love God, and because Jews fear God, we cannot attain Olam Abriya Rak B'Shabbos V'Rosh Chodesh Levad. A Jew can elevate himself to a place beyond their reach on days when there's called Aliyas Olamos. The worlds are elevated. So there's a connection that takes place between, and therefore a Jew has an Aliyas Neshama. There's an elevator between the lower Gan Eden and the upper Gan Eden. This is the higher world called the higher Gan Eden. Just be patient, because although this sounds like jargon, you're going to see where he's going to go here. What's the point? That a person's neshama has the ability to go and bask in the pleasure of Hashem, and to take pleasure in the rays of the Shechina. Now, ki ein hano v'taynug l'seichel nivra, there is no pleasure to the seichel of a creation, el b'mashe maskil u'mevin v'yodeyu u'masig b'sichle yubinosoi, ma'af she'eshalei l'hovin l'hasig. There is no pleasure for a human being who has the ability to understand unless they can fully understand. Everybody's ever been in a situation where you know you got the brain power to get something, but you can't get it. Right? There is no pleasure and tainug for the seichel of a creation only in that where he's able to go and actually attain with his seichel what he's able to attain. Me'ar and Seif Baruch Hu, how does he do it? The Rebbeinu Shlom shows his goods in Olam Abriya. He shows who he really is. He exposes it there to the neshamas who worked to be able to attain as much as they can in this world. Come the neshamas to Olam Abriya. And the Rebbeinu Shlom said, you worked that hard. You struggled in Daf Yomi. You struggled in the Mishnayos. You struggled to do whatever you can do to attain your knowledge here. Let me show you what it's all about. And the Rebbeinu Shlom opens up vast amounts of exposure of godly, sichli material that wasn't available simply because we're in a dark, we're living in a dark room. And the lights are too, it can't happen here. And the fact that these neshamas are able to, you're going to ask, how is it possible a human being should be able to attain Hasagas more than a Malach? How can that be? He says, even though they tried doing whatever they could do with their natural love and fear, the reason tzaddikim are able to attain more, and here he's talking to each one of us, for every struggle we have with evil, okay, and what we get for every victory over evil is because no angel ever struggled to overcome their evil inclination. So they get what they get because of whatever exposure comes to them naturally. But through the dechilu v'dechilu shalahem, the fact is that through the love and the fear of the tzaddik, iskaf yisitra achra, there was an overcoming of the forces of darkness, hamaloveshes begufam, that was part of their bodies, whether it was when we struggled with evil, lichbesh ataivas, to be able to overcome our desires, ulishabran, to break them, or whether it is the actual performance of mitzvahs when we weren't in the mood. That's quality number one. Quality number one, why we're able to attain higher than the angels, is because it took victory over evil, and the victory over evil propels the neshama to a place where an angel can never attain. But number two,
we don't do it here, or it doesn't fit.
It is here. You just can't see it here. You can't appreciate it here. We got spiritual Cadillacs on the ice.
I imagine we can experience it to some degree.
There are great people can. But look at the second reason. The second reason is ve'em hayu bali b'chira. The second reason is we choose. Angels don't choose. We have the ability, if we, God forbid, want to choose evil. And yet we chose good. Likapia the Sitarakra, to overcome evil. The language of the Zohar, to raise the honor of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kiyisun Arman Achayshik, like the advantage of light over Dark Canal. Now, so that's why Tzadikim are able to attain. And again, don't get lost in the generalities of, okay, that's only relevant to Tzadikim. Because we have moments in life when we overcome that we are Tzadikim, and we'll receive the reward for those actions. Now, V'hine kol zehu b'madar ha'neshamas. He says, let's be sober about this. All of what we're talking about only takes place in the dwelling place of the neshamas, u'mok and hamidasan, and the place that's their status, right? Everybody's got status. It's like Southwest Airlines. I'm in, group B, number 32, right? But don't make the error to put Torah and mitzvahs into those categories. Yes, neshamas have labels. Neshamas have levels of attainment. But when we're talking about a Jew's Torah and Aveda, Nichlalis, Mamish, Biyud, Sfiris, they are connected to the Rebbeinu Shleilim himself, to the Etzim, the 10th sphere, Shem Chinis and Likus, that's godliness. We must know that when a Jew is involved in Torah and Mitzvahs, he is absolutely unified with the Rebbeinu Shleilim in the most intimate way. If we're serving at that moment with intellectual, actual love and fear, then we are bound in the Yud Sfiris of Bria.
And the other one as well, the other
way. When are we bound with the Yud Sfiris of Yetzirah? If we're serving with the natural ones. But the Chiddush of it is due to that. When we're dealing with Madar HaNeshamis, those have status. Okay? But when we're dealing with the Avodah of the Jew, those are connected directly to the Sfiris themselves. U'bitoichon, here's the critical message, whether we're dealing with the 10 spheres of Yetzirah, the 10 spheres of Bria, all of them are unified. Milavash's Yud Spheres Da'atzilas. They are all directly connected with the Yud Spheres, with the most intimate emanations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yichadus Ben B'Tachlis, and unified with Him in absolute terms. V'Yud Spheres Da'atzilas, Yichadus B'Tachlis B'Matzilan. The reason it's called Atzilus is because they are completely and totally one with the shiner of those rays, Ein Sof Baruch Hu. Mashenken and Neshamas. But when we're talking about souls, Ein Nechlolis Belakus Yud Spheres, they are not absolutely unified, because a soul ultimately is a creation. It's a Chelik Alikam Yimal, but it's a creation. Elo Eim Des Be'echolois, Neshamas have categories, Umidurin and dwelling places, Debriya, Yetzira, V'nehenim Eziv Ashchina. Now, so if that's the case, what does it mean that in the world to come, tzaddikim sit and they bask in the light of the Shekhinah? So he says, Mamash HaPoshet Tezach, Hu Arein Soif Baruch Hu Am Yuchid B'Yitzviris Debriya Eidi Yitzira. When we're talking about basking in the rays, those rays are the very Ziv HaShekhinah V'Ziv Teiros and V'Avidos HaMamash. What we're basking in Olam Haba, is the very light that we ourselves bring about in our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, Kischar mitzvah, hi mitzvah atzma. That's the simple meaning of the reward for the mitzvah is the ur that's created with the performance of the mitzvah itself. Whatever level we are able to attain in the performance of that mitzvah, that's what we generate for wherever we're going to be, whatever mother we're going to be, we generate the Ziv HaShechina that we ourselves are going to bask in.
And this is the Mishnah?
That's the Mishnah of Pirkei Avos. Now, this sounds so...
You get what you give?
Yeah, but...
Why doesn't he write like that?
Who?
The town of the Mishnah.
He writes, Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah.
No, he doesn't say Schar mitzvah or mitzvah or
no, he's saying it's mamash the mitzvah itself. That's it, right?
I think the Ben Ishah too explains that according to how much depth we have in Torah, that goes according to the spheros, and that's where your person ends
okay,
up. Okay,
so to me, this was shattering. This was devastating because we're bankrupt. What are we left with? So wait, Now, because it's not as bad as we think. It's worse, but it's not as bad. Va'elam Atzilus. Two dots here on 104. This concept of Va'elam Atzilus, which is completely and totally beyond any idea we have. Va'avan the seichel nivra, to the mind of a creation. Because let's face it, the intellect, the understanding, the integration of the infinite, miyuchadas shamboy, they are completely and totally unified with Hashem. They're betachlas a yichud in the most intimate way. Be yichud otzum v'niflo, in an awesome unity. Be yeser seis v'yeser is la'enkates in an infinitely greater way than even in the next world. Kisham yodu laher b'mchinas timtzum. He says, what's the purpose of these worlds? What is it all about? All it is, he says, is a diminishing of the godly presence so that a creation can have a relationship to it. Because there's no way for a creation to be able to have any understanding, any grasp, any relationship whatsoever with the infinite. To be able to understand, grasp any idea about the infinite. According to the intellectual capacity of a creation, we are limited. I don't care how bright we are going to be limited in our understanding. We're all bound by a limited IQ, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to expose us to the complete and total understanding, we would cease to exist. We would not be creations anymore. We would return to our source. There would not be able to be a creation. Now, therefore, this diminishing of the godly presence, it is the very reason for why HaKadosh Baruch Hu emanates at all. That in that world there is an emanation of godliness, lineshamas elu, to these highest souls of the tzaddikim, ba'olam abriya, in the world of bria, because they deserved it. But masha ein kein ba'atzilus, this is not the case in the original, in the highest world of emanation. She'enu mebchidas tzimtzum kolkach. There's no diminishing. Or there's far less diminishing of that, or top of Nun Gimel. Therefore, it's impossible for any creation, the Kabbal Mehem, to receive from that infinite or. There's no way for any mind, for any process of thought, to grasp godliness in that world at all. Now, of course, for every rule, there's an exception. L'chein hu modo l'tzadikim ha'gdoilim. Olam Atzilus is the dwelling place of the only, the greatest, select few tzadikim. Sh'avidosim hu l'mayla mayla, whose service is so extreme, afilu m'pchines d'chila v'rechimu ha'nimshachis min abina v'das b'gdolos yisbach. Remember, he said earlier that if a person uses their intellect to generate emotional love and fear, then they belong in that Olam Abriya. These are people whose service is so out there that it's even way beyond anything that a human being can generate. Their service is as far from the servants of Olam Abriya as is the Chachma Bina Das of a Nivra. Ella. So how do you get there? What's the point? This goes back to the Ovis. The people who serve on the level of being a literal chariot, that they have no other rutzin other than the rutzin Hashem, they are completely and totally nullified to Hashem's will, and they are completely suffused with Hashem's presence, both them, both everything they own. This is what they mean when they say about the Ovis that they are the chariot. The distinction between the greatest of tzaddikim and the Avais is greatest tzaddikim do it sometimes. The Avais were always like this. Now, let's get back to us. Okay? We're about 10 lines into Nun Gimel. But for the rest of us whose Sheresh Neshom is far smaller from being able to tolerate this type of service, then we can't be completely, totally nullified to Hashem's Avodah on an ongoing basis. We can do it once in a while. Shem Eis Rotza in the Maila, that are conducive times. Like we see in many of the Siddurim, it says Bashmen Esrei that it is Tfilas Atzilus, right? Shubat Tzilus. Ubefrat, especially Bishtachavoy Shaba, when we bow down in Shmon Esrei. She called Ishtachavoy Ubchinus Atzilus. Each, the Arizal writes that every bowing in Shmon Esrei is in the Olam Atzilus.
I heard about the bowing also, that it represents also Mordechai with the bowing.
It is a person who's completely nullifying. That's the action of Ishtachavo. It's a person who's completely nullifying themselves to Hashem. That a person ceases to exist. But the neshama itself dwells in Olam HaBriya. Rak in the brackets, rak leprokim. It's only occasionally based rotzayin at special times. Tal in neshmosei latzilus, his neshama will go to atzilus. Bebchinas ma'inukim kiyuduli adichein, as the Kabbalists know. Now, vine schar mitzvah mitzvah. As we said earlier, the reward for the mitzvah is whatever we put into the mitzvah. Pirish shemischora neida. From the reward, we can know mehusa umadrigasa. From the reward, we could tell how the mitzvah was done. If the reward is taking place in Olam HaBriya, you could see what you put into it. If the reward was taking place in Olam HaYetzirah, you could see what was put into it there. Right? Ve'en lanu esek min hastoras. We don't know anything about Kabbalah. Rak shem tzadikim agdoilim, shem b'chinas merkava. That's for the greatest of people who are merkava. But Raka Niglis Lano. But for that which we do know, that which is revealed to us, Sha'achreim Kolonim Yimshech, that which every one of us needs to think about, is Leida Nemona, to know well, Mohus Umadregas Avedas Hashem, to know where are we at in our serving Hashem, B'dechilo V'rechima, with love and with fear, B'hidiskalos Liba, in any kind of way, consciously, if we're able to generate emotional love and emotional fear by contemplating Godless Hashem, then Mekayma B'yud Sviras de Bria, then its place is going to be in the 10 Sviras of Bria. And if we could generate at least intellectual love and fear, meaning we can't get our emotions going, but at least we say, hey, I can't get my emotions going, but I know intellectually that I should love and I should fear. Then, B'yod Sviris de Yetzirah, then it'll be part of the 10 spheres of Yetzirah. Last line of the page. Aval avayda b'li his eirus techila v'rechimu. But when we do things without any love and any fear, not intellectual, not emotional, but rather even in our minds, Yibchin is gilui, in any revealed way, at least to awaken, to arouse the natural inborn love, to get it out of our concealed state, at least intellectually, in the concealed heart. Rak. What's the other option? The love remains concealed in the heart. He told us as it was the day we were born. This is the tallest cotton of the 3-year-old on the 50-year-old. And it's just exactly in the same spot before we ever did any kind of service. That service remains right here in this world of separation. It remains separated. that mitzvah does not have the power to be elevated, to be unified with Hashem, Shein Eses Sviyas HaKadoshes, Gemar Shekosev Etikunim, Debalei Dechila Rechima. This is the meaning, that Torah and mitzvah is done without love and fear. Lei Parcha Le'elo, it can't fly upward. V'lei Yochla L'Salko L'Mekem Kodom Hashem, it can't be elevated to Hashem. Now, don't make the mistake of thinking that the mitzvah is not a mitzvah. Is that what he's saying? He's saying that the iris that we're able to generate are not accessible. That part of it remains outside. The famous story of the Baal Shem HaKadosh comes to a city and they're looking for a shul to daven in, and the Baal Shem walks over to the door and opens the door and says, "Oh my God, we can't daven here, the place is packed." So the Gabbai walks over and the building's empty. He says, "Rebbe, the building's empty." He says, "No, it's full. The tefillahs of the last 1,000 years are all stuffed into the, they haven't gone anywhere. There's nowhere to get in." Now,
saying there is some value in
that. Awesome value.
Just
this ha'ara is not, now, is it going to tell us what the accomplishment is, even in, if we do it for ulterior motives? He says, "I'm not even dealing with a person who's serving for wrong reasons, for an ulterior motive. Rather, here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about people whose fear of me, whose practice of Yiddishkeit, is out of habit. Perish machmas hergel. We've gotten into habitual performance. Shogol mikatnusai. We've been doing this since we're small. Shergila v'lim de'aviv. Rabbi, his father taught him. His teacher taught him. Liras Hashem l'avdai, to fear Hashem, to serve Him. That's mitzvah anoshim milamada. And they say the guy woke up once in the middle of the night and woke his wife up and said, "It's terrified. What happened?" He says, "I had a dream about God." So he said, "What's so terrifying about that?" He says, "Because usually you only dream about things that you think about during the day." He says, "I haven't thought about God in 15 years. Right? Vein Isaac Lishma Mamish. That he didn't serve us Lishma. Ki Lishma Mamish Ef Shabla Yisairus Dechila V'rechima Ativi Malkaponim. Torah Lishma means at least to tie into the natural, the inborn fear and love. At least to reveal them intellectually. At least to pay attention to the fact before we do a mitzvah that we should be feeling, we should be loving. Just like a person doesn't do something for another person, the mal is ritzoinoi, to fulfill that person's desires. Elim kenoi havoi, unless he loves the person. Oyodem yimeno, or he has reason to fear him. This is what we should at least be thinking. Kach yev shalasis lishma yizbach, so too should we understand that we can't perform a mitzvah for Hashem's sake be'emes, lemal is ritzoinoi levad, to really fulfill Hashem's will, b'li zikaron, at least without thinking about v'yisoyrus ha'avos v'yiros eklal, to at least awaken the concept in our minds that we love Hashem, we fear Hashem, we're thinking about Him at least. That's why we're doing this. At least pay attention to the fact that the reason we're doing it is because intellectually we should be loving God. We should understand that love itself is not love unless it comes with some level of fear of punishment. But these things that we're talking about are concealed, they're within each one of us. As we will discuss later on. However, but when a Jew serves for the wrong reasons, meaning for an ulterior motive, meaning for his own honor, the person wants to be called a scholar, or something like that, then we're even in bigger trouble. then the mitzvah becomes wrapped up in the pniyah. The mitzvah is contained in the ulterior motive. And then, va'atayri b'pchin is golus b'techa klipa, that Torah is in exile in that shell. It's captured there, lefi shah, temporarily. Adash yasa tshuva, until the person does tshuva, shemevir refu lo'ilam, that brings cure to the world. Shebeshuva yel Hashem, because when the person does tshuva, gam tayrose shove imay, then he liberates all that Torah that was in captivity, and all of it is elevated to HaKadosh Baruch. So he says, therefore, ulechein amr chazal, lo'ilam yasek adam, b'tari mitzis afila shaloi lishma. That's why there is value in serving shaloi lishma. Why? What do you mean? You're doing it, you're sending it all to the klipa. What's the point? He says, no. Ultimately, one day you're going to do tshuva. And the day you do tshuva, all that force is released back into its correct place. So load up on all the shaloi lishma, because ultimately one day there's going to be tshuva and it's going to be a huge pop. It's like opening the champagne bottle. Shemitach shaloi lishma, boy lishma, bevadai. I'm telling you for sure that's going to happen. Shebevadai seifelas is tshuva. Because for sure one day we're going to do tshuva. Look at this language. Begilgul zeh, begilgul acher. I don't care if it's going to be in this lifetime or in the next lifetime. All of that will be released. Because Hashem will not let any neshama to fall away. So that's even if the person does it for ulterior motives. But if a person stam serves without positive thoughts, but there's no negative thought, he doesn't serve with an active negative thought, then tshuva is not even required. The next time he comes around and he learns the same thing for the right reason, even that which he learned kosherly, it will combine and attach itself to this positive learning, and that lifeless, emotionless, loveless, fearless learning will be elevated heavenward. Because it was not held captive in any form of klipa. And for this reason, a person should certainly serve shalai d'shma. He says a tremendously valuable thing, that even when we daven without kavana, if one time we daven with kavana, that one tefillah b'kavana takes along with it all of the davenings that were done without kavana and propels them to these stages. And certainly as we mature, it continues to elevate and elevate and elevate. And it's the snowball effect that creates the avalanche of heavenly. So therefore, there's tremendous hope, even though we're doing so poorly now, but there really is hope. Begilgul zeh, begilgul acher, that ki lo yidach mimenu nidach. There's hope for all of our Torah mitzvahs that it will ultimately be elevated heavenward so that we can have the proper schar from its performance.